The pint is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Happy Holy Thursday, everybody. It's another episode of the Snowcast.
Or Easter Monday, if you're listening to this.
So actually, yeah, sorry. By the time this is released, it is Easter Monday.
Yeah.
The young lad has risen. He's back.
He
was 3 days without a pint.
He is Lord.
No wonder he was getting back up.
He is drinking heaps of pints and he is Lord.
I'd say he was absolutely, like, he'd be gagging for a pint, like.
Yeah.
I'd say he moved out that old stone in front of the
tree. I mean,
raced down to the local corner shop. I'd say he got, like, well, Good Friday now, he wouldn't have gotten anything. Back, you know, because obviously this is the old rules.
The old rules, yeah. The pubs weren't open, the off-license weren't allowed to sell alcohol.
Yeah.
But he probably had a few cans stashed away.
Yeah.
Crafty that way.
Yeah, surely, yeah. Sure, he was murdered on the Good Friday, so...
He wouldn't need air to can. All he'd need is a glass of water. All he'd need is a glass of water. Turn the fucker into wine. He's laughing.
He's sound, man.
Jeez, there's never... Jeez, we some sessions down by the river there.
He'd be some man to bring to a session, wouldn't he? Like,
oh, stop.
Do you know when you're struggling at a session? You know, well, like... When you're running out of a drink at a session, like, you know, and it's, like, way past offy time, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like,
all you have is the gallon rum of Ballygown.
But yeah, or like you have you know, you'd be like getting onto the like white wine vinegar, like, or like if you have any bit of white spirit out in the shade, you'd be mixing that in with a bit of Sprite or Fanta or something.
Jesus, yeah. So like, basically, like I can be blasphemous all I want because I'm a pagan, but like, oh, it's good. I want to give a shout out. We'll tag him in the social media. I have to give a shout out to Dermot Whelan from Today FM. I had Today FM on today in work, and he told the story of Easter. He didn't tell it. Sorry,
no, sorry,
I apologise.
No, he got Noni in.
No,
sorry,
he invited Noni in, and then I think he had to take a piss break or something in the middle of the show. So they couldn't. Noni came in and filled in for him for a couple of minutes, and she told the story of Easter there. Only for Keith Earls, baby Earls.
Baby Earls, yeah. He's the saviour of Easter.
That was brilliant. That lad might be Jesus, but I'm here, he's not. Keith Earls is God.
Very good.
Brilliant.
So, again, we're in a bubbling Holy Thursday pub tonight. We're in Phil Grimes there on John Street, and it is absolutely
hopping.
It is, like, you know, I love this pub. You love this pub. We, as the Snowcast, love this pub. This is like the birthplace of the snow.
Yeah.
And like, this is like the quintessential night of it now. I'm like, absolutely loving it.
Do you know what I love about tonight is now, like, we came in early enough, like, we were like out early, home early. As a pagan, I keep forgetting it's Easter. So like, I came in and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, Thursday is full. Forgot, like, imagine back in the day before the... when they say back in the day, like 2 years ago, before the good, when the Good Friday drink ban was in order, like,
yeah,
lads on Holy Thursday would be on this session like mad, because it wouldn't be here dropped to get on Friday.
Do you know? Yeah.
So it's obviously just a, and obviously because Ireland's a Catholic country now. No. Listen, too much Irish history podcast. Like, yeah. I haven't even got to that stage yet.
Yeah, you're still back in the Vikings. Yeah. Brian Boru was still around there.
Because Ireland is a predominantly Catholic country. Basically, Good Friday and Easter Monday are bank holidays. So, like, the majority of people working in the private sector have tomorrow off. So, like, this Holy Thursday is a great night out. Like, full of people in the town.
Although I was talking to Tom earlier on, and I was up the bar kind of.
Tom Ryan there.
And I was, you know, talking the usual shite that you do to a barman up in the bar, ordering the pint. And I was like, geez, busy in here now. And he said, it's not like Holy Thursdays of old. You wouldn't get in the door. Do you know?
Well, that's true as well. Sure, lads can go. Lads can get a can tomorrow, like.
Well, that's it, like, sure. He just has the crowd split over 2 days now, like, you know.
So that's it, I suppose. Yeah, that's it. But it's great to see, though. It's great to see people out and about. It's great to see people here in Phil Grimes, because it's a superb bar. Like, we usually come down to Farrin. We've moved down to now for acoustic reasons. But I love sitting up at the bar, at the tap end of the bar as well. Like when you're, that's what it is.
I love it.
Down at the confessional there. Like,
yeah.
With the regulars to be and having a chat. And actually, the table there by the board games and stuff, that's where you're sitting before this, having a pint and a chat and basically building up to this. And it's just a great pub. It's a great atmosphere. You could sit, you could sit there for the day. Like, I'd love to win the Euro Millions, just spend a week in here.
Actually, I think I might have told this story before on the Stubcast, but I remember over Christmas, was this year or the year before, but so basically myself and all the boys from home, we always, you know, same as everywhere, everyone kind of meets up over Christmas or whatever. So, you know, we had all said that we were going to meet in Jeff's, I think, maybe, or the Munster, somewhere like that. But anyway, we're going to meet in a bar in town. And Troy said, look, I'm going to have, like, a few of the boys said, oh, we're going to be in earlier, and if you want to come in. And I said, yeah, sure, I might be in. So I said, on the way in now, I'll drop into Philly's.
Sure, you couldn't pass the boy, like.
Couldn't pass the boy. So I said, I'll have a pint here now. So walked up to the tap end of the pub.
Yeah.
And... sure, lo and behold, one of the boys was sitting down reading a book, having a pint up the top end by the bookshelf. And this is the thing, right? So what this fellow was saying to me was, like, afterwards, after he had a few kind of pints into him and he was kind of liquored up a bit, was that he hates the kind of, like, the whole WhatsApp culture and stuff, like, yeah. It was in, like, Joe, he's quite traditional, and he likes that kind of, like, I'll meet you under the clock kind of shite, like, you know?
Yeah,
right, at whatever time, like, you know? But again, he said, like, that was one of those, it was nearly one of those kind of unwritten rules that, like he almost knew that he'd meet me in there before we were meeting up.
It was like that work night out a couple of years ago when two of the girls from work just were, like, on the way into town, we're like, should we go into Philly's? The lads are surely in there for one or two beforehand.
And we were.
We're sat off the bar there, No, and I think I'm actually going to rename this now. We have the tap end up the top of the pub, and down here is the studio where we record. Brilliant. I love that. Actually, there's a couple of things on before you move on. I know you're hosting tonight, and actually it's just the two of us for anyone that's tuned in. There's a couple of people who I want to give a shout out to who've been really engaging with us on Twitter and have only picked up on the podcast now, and will actually have listened to a good few by the time they get to this, because a couple of them have said they've only started. So there's a guy on Twitter, Edge of West from West Galway, really good Twitter account, loves his beer, and actually has started listening to Snorkast. So if you stick with us to this point, Edge of West, shout out to you. And also the Portleash Pub Club have been really engaging with us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Shout out to the Portleash Pub Club, and actually because Neil's from Leash and near enough to Portleash, hopefully one of the weekends it suits me and I'll be up there to join you for a few pints. Looking forward to it. So I just wanted to give a few new listeners to Snorkast.
Actually,
to
funny enough,
we appreciate
a new follower of ours, Oprah Winfrey. She's mad on the cider.
Hey, listen, speaking of cider,
oh,
a little shout out there to Legacy Cider, who are in Arkeen stores today. So we put a bit up on social here Thursday. The episode will be coming out the following Monday. Our Legacy Cider were in Arkeen today, and their dry cider, like, it's sunny now, it's supposed to be a hot weekend. We both got a few bottles of Legacy dry cider each. Fuck it, it's lovely, isn't it? Quench your thirst.
Yeah, no, it was like, we literally had, I'd say, about 20 mil of it there today, but it was delicious.
Yeah, and they had the new medium cider.
Some taste more of it. Like.
Yeah, they had the new medium cider as well, which I'd prefer the dry one. It'd be more my style of a cider. But the new medium one, like, for people who like a sweet cider but think Orchard Thieves is just a bowl of diabetes, like I do, that medium cider Legacy would be right up your street, because it's sweet but it's not overpoweringly sweet.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, like, sickeningly sweet at all. Like,
I enjoyed it.
I preferred the dry cider, but yeah, no.
I had a bottle of dry there before we came out, sitting at home watching telly with Niamh.
Dry shite.
No, she's not. Just in case she listens.
Right, anyway, here, look, so you've spoken about what you had earlier on, what do you have now?
So we're actually both on the same drink.
Yeah.
So I'll speak for both of us here, and tonight came into Phil Grimes and I spotted something on tap that I hadn't spotted before, and actually Tom, the barman, said he has it on tap here for 5 years. our soul. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Tom's insight into it, because I love chatting to him with the pints that we drink in here. So I'm on the 8 Degrees Single Hop Citra Pale Ale, which is a delicious pale ale. It's really juicy. See, what I love about the Citra hop is it's citrus and flavour, aroma. There's just that full-bodied flavour off it, and then there's that little bitterness. Like in this 8 Degrees Citra Single Hop Pale Ale, there is a lovely tartness to it.
Yeah,
so you get that citrus fruity bang, the juicy bang, and then there's this tart bitterness to it, just
it's
lingers.
Pure, it's pure juice when you, like, it's like biting into an orange, skin and all.
In Sevilla,
yeah.
Of a July morning.
It's like biting into a real juicy kind of fruit, like any like not the actual kind of it's not a fruity flavor, like, you know,
yeah,
but it's it is that
juiciness, that first quinch
initially, yeah, but then followed by a
sharpness,
pure bitterness afterwards, which is lovely.
Yeah, like it's not overly powerfully bitter, like it's just a lovely little tart bitterness.
And what's the percentage wise?
It's 5.7, 5.8. And actually, I think it drinks a bit heavier than 5.7, 5.8%. Like, I'm not gonna, like, we're just about to finish the second, have a third, and finish the podcast. Don't think you'd be going beyond 3 or 4 if you're coming to the pub on a like on a Thursday, you know. But it's a lovely pint to drink. You could
lovely
sit.
Pint to drink.
They're all lovely
pints to drink.
So they're all lovely pints to drink. But it's particularly nice, like, I really, really enjoy.
And what about Tom? What does Tom say about it?
So I come up and had a no look around when I came in first, because like we said, it's hopping, so Tom's on his own there, like a quality barman. He's looking after everyone in order, no favouritism.
This pint is hopping as
no
well.
No favouritism.
And
so it's only single hop though.
I know, but
single hop off it. So I'd look around and I had my mind up, I'll go for an 8 degree citra. Next thing, Tom came up, had a little chat with him, the usual. So I said, I'll have an 8 degree citra there. So even when he was handing me, he said, oh, I love that smell. Like, so it was grand. I had the first one, I was waiting for you. We had the chat when we came in, and went up to order more, and he said,
well, actually, to interject, I came in, had a little chat, not a word said between us.
No.
Another citra ordered.
I think the citrus hops, like that mandarin hop that was in that Dreammaker, the old brother one that I had last week as well. Like,
yeah,
just any of those citrus notes in a IPA is just delicious.
Actually, do you know what? For me at the moment, right, as well, is that right. So I'm ruling out stouts in the moment because stout season is over.
Yeah, stout season is finished.
There's no real ciders on tap there, up there really.
Yeah, but see, I don't think this is a cider tap up bar either though. Like,
yeah,
they have bottle cider, you know.
And bottle cider may be nicer as well. Like.
But this season, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But this season, chat brings me on to like the last pint that Tommy had to me when I was ordering the pint off him. When I was chatting to him about the pint above at the bar there was, he said like, he's like, I'm surprised this. He asked me if it was my first time having it, and I said it was. And he said, I'm surprised that you haven't had it before, because he said, I've had it here for 4 or 5 years on and off. So the reason it's on and off is because they only release it seasonally, which is actually brilliant, like, you know, to think that they're keeping a high standard there by maintaining a seasonal release of a drink due to the selection that they're brewing with.
And is that, would you say that's like I haven't a notion, and you probably don't have a notion either, but would you say it's like, you know, ingredient based, as in,
oh yeah, 100%
like
ingredient
like
based,
seasonally,
yeah. Yeah.
Ingredient based,
as like, opposed, yeah, to like, but even cider being a summer drink is probably seasonally based, because I know this from the grandparents having apple trees, that like it's when apple falls and the time it takes then for apples to ripen properly if you take an apple that hasn't been chemically manipulated and but give it fall in time and actually properly brew cider, it'll be ready for April, May time.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that's where the seasonality comes in cider. And I imagine that's where it's come from traditionally, do you know what I mean? And then it just happens that like we're used to a lovely crisp cider on a summer's day, which they do match well together.
That's cool. Sure, look here. That was nice. Nice little talk about beer to kick us off there.
Absolutely. I've one last little point to make on it, because I think we spoke last week a bit about Diageo, a bit about I suppose, no, but we spoke about the art of craft and paying that extra euro or two for quality products. I just want to make the point that, like, this is the 8 degrees Citra and it's a delicious drink. And then you mentioned Yellow Belly Citra, which obviously, you know, Yellow Belly have made with Declan and stuff like that. So I just think they're both made from similar hops and similar backgrounds, different processes and techniques. So different crafting, these are two very different drinks, both seriously enjoyable. And I just think that's like, that's the art of brewing, that's the art of craft brewing. So I just want to give a shout out to the fucking brewers out there, because like, Jesus Christ, we love them, like.
Yeah, it's amazing what it, like, a little change of temperature, a little change in like their brewing environment or whatever.
A
like,
little bit this, a little bit that.
But like, yeah, it's pure experimentation and like what like people have brought out, like even like that. That like, even we were chatting to Gemma, was that from Legacy?
Yeah, Gemma today, yeah, shout out to her, Sunbird.
And yeah, so we're chatting to her and like, I was like, how many people are working in there? And it's just...
Himself and your man.
Just yourself and a young man. Fella working with him.
Well, see, what I love is, on that point, I love that talking to Declan from Yellow Belly the odd time, and like, I said to him once, like, how do you know that what's going to make a good beer? And he's just like, you don't, like.
Yeah.
You don't know until it comes out.
But like, I think as well, like, you know, with like, for me, I suppose, initially when like, drinking beer or whatever, you're kind of like, like that's an automated process or whatever. Whereas like this, like these are actually like hand brewed like things, you know.
You go to the Carlsberg Brewery and they're packaging all, like I mentioned the Jakobsen Pale Ale on a previous podcast that I had over there that I've never seen in Ireland. But even that, like all, the whole factory is minimal human input, like, you know, the whole lot is just like absolutely automated, whereas like you can feel the craft, you can feel the, I suppose you can
feel the love.
Yeah, exactly. Feel the molding of a beer. It's almost like some sort of lord or savior has
risen.
Delivered it. This beer has risen from the cake.
Lovely. Here, that's enough. Enough talk now about serious pinting. Let's get on to absolute nonsense now. So anyway, our first topic of the night is going to be.
Hold on a minute. Do you know, like, big, massive, stupid, we're back in the room, slander someone phrase, no?
No, no.
Okay.
Because we're not back in the room. We went for two more points. I was actually trying to put this in all in
a
the
smooth
one.
Segue, like.
A smooth segue, like, you know, as if we hadn't paused.
That's all right. I'm just saying, like, give the fucking listeners what they want, then.
I'll give it to them in the next ad break.
I'm sure you will.
Anyway, so our first topic of El Noche is right. So it's Holy Thursday now.
Yeah,
it'll be Easter.
Good Friday.
Easter Sunday.
Easter Saturday.
Is Easter Saturday
even a thing?
I don't know.
Holy What's Saturday.
It? Like Easter Saturday, he was just chilling out, like. Isn't
Saint
he?
Peter Saturday. He doesn't get much.
Yeah, he doesn't get it. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, basically, it's fucking Easter, right? And it kind of got me to thinking, like, there's kind of like a lot of holidays throughout the year, right?
Yeah.
And like some of them are kind of like, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Like the two lads should get an old, you know, holiday. Yeah. Fair enough. So.
The right? Hallmark of the household.
Yeah. But then I remember when I was in like primary or secondary school, they were like thinking of bringing out like Grandparents Day. That's, you know, sure, like they're mothers and fathers anyway. Like, so
they get Mother's Day and Father's Day.
And Grandparents Day. Nah, not having a hock about
it. Every day is Grandparents Day.
So anyway, I was thinking, right, if you could create a day, right, and we'll say it's a bank holiday or like, you know, a day off work, right? What would you have it as? What would be your worldwide celebration? So everyone around the globe can celebrate this day.
So, firstly, I want two separate little answers. First one is Snowcast Sunday. Everyone gets the Monday off work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I mean, we slagged off Arthur's Day last week, but like, we kind of the same thing, but like,
yeah.
Snowcast Sunday. I think, right? I mentioned earlier on, I'm a pagan.
Right.
So the church took all our holidays, like. So we need to take one back.
Well, like, you're not really a pagan. You believe in the Norse gods.
My only told me of that. So she had something to say to her mother. I don't believe in the Norse gods, but I think they're cool enough. Like, I would like thank Odin the odd time for something, or you know, I'd say the gods are with us, or you know, Freya has shone her boobs upon us.
Yeah, you're a bit of a Loki, are you?
No, I wouldn't think so. No, I'm too friendly to be Loki.
Yeah, yeah.
Loki is a badass mofo.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Go back to your holiday, your worldwide celebration.
Yes. So, basically, my birthday is on one of the most significant pagan days in the pagan calendar.
Yeah.
June 21st, the summer solstice.
Mm.
So, mine would be like some sort of solstice festival session.
Oh.
And on the summer solstice festival session, weed would be legalized for the day.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, like, I think I'm...
So, basically, Ireland turned into the dam for the day.
So, I've gone to, like, Body and Soul.
Yeah.
Which is actually on that weekend.
Yeah.
And, like... Like, you're not just talking about a grand stretch in the evening. You're talking about the grandest stretch in the evening.
Or, like, there ain't no finer stretch, like.
Yeah.
There ain't no finer stretch. So, it's a top notch.
I think that's a quality one, like.
I think it's the height of summer. Do you know what I mean? It's
height
just
of
that,
summer.
And do you know what the thing with that date is? It's my birthday. So I remember what it's like most years. There's always a fucking wedding on.
Yeah.
So we need a festival to jib the weddings so I can enjoy it.
So I know, like, on the show we like to celebrate the kind of like the smaller cities, smaller towns, smaller villages in Ireland, right?
Yeah.
But one thing I am quite envious of Dublin for is drinking by the Grand Canal, like on a fine summer's evening.
So, how's it going?
How are you getting on? So, are you saying we should have like a seaside session kind of thing in the southeast?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I get along with that. I go on board with that. So you're saying, like, well, there's a bluegrass festival in Dunmore East.
Dogs Bank Holiday weekend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, am I completely shitting on your parade?
No. Why, how do you mean, man?
Have we the same thing, like?
What, as a bluegrass holiday?
Yeah, like, do you know, could we sit by the sea there and be grand?
Could we sit by the weekend and be grand? No, as in... No, like, you can rob the bluegrass, like, you know?
Yeah, or you could completely rob the bluegrass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, so, like, I say my one, will I?
Yeah, I say your one, yeah.
So, my one is that it's a duvet day. And, like, for us, like, you know, kind of like a Netflix...
Netflix. You take it in, Netflix and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you know, like, everyone kind of, like, chill, have a bit of relaxation, you know, the lot.
I think that's brilliant, do it. So, but the only thing is, like, would you have to tie it up with, I know the way Good Friday now the pubs are open, so would it actually have been ideal to tie it up with a day where traditionally the pubs were closed, so that you wouldn't be missing out on anything?
Maybe.
Are you saying create, because they've lost Good Friday now and they might lose Christmas Day?
Well, so I suppose, right, I'm saying like duvet day, but actually it's probably more so a day of like whatever makes you happiest, like,
yeah,
you know, and just go out and do it, like, you know.
So you're saying duvet day for Netflix, stuff like that, but anyone can do anything?
Anyone can do anything. Like, snugging up in the middle of it in a pub, like, that could be your duvet day, like, you know.
So bringing duvets to the pub.
Yeah, exactly.
So just duvet day in the pub.
Well, I'm not saying necessarily that, because, you know, people don't drink, not everyone, yeah. But, like, I'm just saying that, like, and, like, a pure, like, worldwide, like, just because I think, like, in the States and stuff, there's such a culture of fucking, it's like an absolute rat race in a lot of cities.
Yeah.
Where you're just working hard, playing hard, blah, 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 right? But, like, you know, there's actually not much rest, and, like, you know, you don't get much kind
of... We should take a leaf out of the Swedes' books and implement, like, a 4-day working week or something.
Man, that's...
Stupid day once a week.
That's been proven though, hasn't it?
Like, been proven, more productive, better outcomes.
Do you know though, like, if you, when you take a half day in work life, you get as much work done, like, do you know what I mean?
Like, it's a complete, this like 9-to-5 thing is a complete myth, like, isn't it?
100%.
It's created by the man to suppress people.
No, it is, like, it is.
And like, no, I'm fully on board with that.
I feel sorry for people that work in jobs that are like tailored to accommodate people who are finishing work. So like, you're working like 9-to-6 or 9-to-7 or, you know, half eight to half seven or, you know, shite like that. Like, or,
well, I've said it long, like, for our day job, like, I'd love to be with like a 7 in the morning to 8 at night, 2-3 days a week.
Yeah.
And just get all the work done in that time, like.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
It'd be brilliant.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I was actually watching a Netflix documentary on Netflix earlier on about profits and like companies kind of during the '80s, and they were just like driving towards like providing huge share prices and dividends for their shareholders and stuff like that, and they just didn't give a shite about like the wellness or even like maintaining staff or anything like that.
Societal impact on it or anything like
that. But like those companies, like, yes, made huge short-term profits, but like ended up closing in a few years. So like, I think like workers will like absolutely thrive for your own company if they feel like they're valued or whatever. And
oh, 100%. So yeah, I think we've boxed it off with a Summer Solstice Festival session and Duvet Day.
Right, so keeping in the theme of holidays, right?
Yeah.
What are your favourite ever Easter eggs?
Good question. Seasonal, topical, non-religion related.
Yeah.
I love it. I think, right, so there's been a big game changer this year in Ireland anyway in terms of Easter eggs, in terms of we now have the Easter eggs with the bits in the middle, right, with the bits in the chocolate. We haven't had those before, I don't think.
Oh,
have you not seen these? No. Yeah. There's like a dame Easter egg, there's like a fruit and nut Easter egg. There's different types of Easter eggs where I have like little bits of dame or little bits of fruit and nut.
Damn!
in with the chocolate, in the actual egg.
Stop the lights.
Yeah. Now, I've long said like they should come out with an Easter egg that has like a filling of some sort, but that's obviously like way too much sugar or something. They probably wouldn't get passed by the FDA, but they have these now, so I'm keen to try these out. But I think, right, historically, and I'm taking this from a pure basic egg alone, nothing else point of view, Cadbury's Easter eggs are superior chocolate than Nestle.
Agreed.
Cadbury's Easter eggs are far superior chocolate than Nestle Easter eggs.
Like, when you see that purple box coming out, like, you know, when you're
or the purple tinfoil around it.
Well, like, do you know what?
Smash it off your brother's head.
Do you know, like, all the Cadbury's Easter eggs just have like the purple box, and then they have like yellow for caramel or whatever.
Flake.
And they have
and then you flake the Easter egg off your brother's head.
Yeah. And then it's 3 hours in A&E, and you know, there's tears and after, but you still have your Easter eggs, and you're happy.
Yeah, and it's like, how many blows to the head has this man taken? Well, we got 15 Easter eggs in the house because of 5 of us 3 each, so we got 15 blows to the head. Sorry, Mark. I love that. I think they're superior. Now, I do think there's a big shout out, right, to the smaller eggs that come out. So cream egg is obviously the one that's been heavily marketed. But I think the caramel egg is far superior to the cream egg.
Like caramel.
Yeah.
Like that bunny, sexy bunny. Like.
The Dairy Milk caramel ones. Do you know the caramel eggs?
Is she not the sexy bunny, you know? Remember, was she not like back in the day, you know?
Are you? Is this some sort of porn conspiracy you've caught onto?
No, like she was kind of like a Jessica Rabbit kind of style character, I think.
Yeah.
Back in the kind of like late 90s, early 2000s.
Possibly.
I think, yeah.
Maybe I've erased that from my memory.
Do you know who she reminded me of? She was like, remember the film Space Jam?
Yeah, Lola.
Yeah.
Lola Bunny, yeah. It's coming to me now. I want to say, like, Lindt chocolate I love. The Lindt chocolate balls are delicious.
Delicious.
But I think that texture of chocolate is too heavy to have in egg form, and they bring out the eggs at Easter as well.
Do you think it's too much or what?
I think it's too much, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think a Kinder Egg counts as an Easter egg, because the Kinder Eggs are out all year.
Kinder Eggs.
Yeah. Sure, only it. So I think we've absolutely boxed it off and said just like a Cadbury's Easter egg.
Yeah. Now, right, if you're, right, so, if you're, like, this is kind of ties over from the conversation we had 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
With our favourite chocolate.
The 90s chocolates, yeah.
Yeah. But, what is, so, out of, right, you're saying Cadbury's, right?
Yeah.
But what is your favourite Cadbury's egg? So, obviously, that includes accessories.
A pack of mini eggs.
I'm the same. Well done.
That
well
was
done.
A high five.
Well done. Well done.
Clink,
well
clink of the glasses.
Well done.
Bring
well
the
done.
Mics up close.
Well done. Oh, Jesus.
That was the terriblest clink of glasses
well
ever.
Well done. No, I'm totally in agreement. And do you know what else? Do you know what can go fuck itself, right?
Yeah.
I loved them initially, but I can definitely go fuck itself now. Is mugs in an Easter egg?
Oh, so what's the point? And they're too and many terrible mugs.
Terrible mugs. They're too skinny.
And they're too colourful. Big double decker yolk.
Yeah. Terrible.
I have me 3 or 4 mugs, and I love them.
Yeah, but like, enough's enough, like.
Yeah.
If I get another one,
if you're brand when you were a student and you'd near a mug.
Yeah, exactly. Or you're smashing mugs off your brother's head. Sorry, Mark.
But that's what happened here. Fucking, all of a sudden, mugs came with the Easter eggs, and Mark was in A&E twice instead of once. Good old Mark, eh?
Ah, good stuff, though. So, I actually might go for a quick smashing there. So, we'll take a word from our little sponsors there.
Good man.
And we're back in the room.
A lively room as well.
Very lively room.
Shout out to Tom from the Cove above there, causing ruckus with the lads.
There's a book club going on above. And,
it's the most boisterous book club I ever did see.
Oh, there's absolute roarings going on here. Like.
Oh yeah, they're slating each other about the Indian class system or something like that. Sounds phenomenal. I was sitting at the bar there ordering a pint, and the chat out of them. They're absolutely fucking raw-mating each other. Like.
Jeez. Speaking of Gandhi... What's the greatest comeback you've ever witnessed?
So, like, to listeners just to know how we come up with topics, like, sometimes it'll be relative to something that's happened that week. And in the last week, Tiger Woods has won the Masters.
Yeah.
Or, like, we need to talk, maybe we need to mark this something. But, obviously, a lot of the listeners to the podcast don't follow sports religiously. So we're big sports heads and stuff like that. But, like, there's some great sporting comebacks. Liverpool fan, Istanbul, win European Cup and stuff like that. Tiger Woods, etc. But some of the greatest comebacks of all time. Let's throw a few mad ones out there. There's loads of cases of actors and actresses and stuff being absolute junkies and deadbeats and then coming back to being, like, Robert Downey Jr., for example.
Yeah.
Well documented that he had a drug addiction problem and then he came back to be Iron Man.
Yeah.
Now, that's a pretty good comeback. Like, I don't think, like, he could come up and run Stark Industries the way he did if he... was still hooked on the stuff, like.
Yeah, so, like, you need to be a genius, you know, to come up with that suit, like. You know?
Now, maybe he takes the odd hallucinogenic to open his mind to... Maybe, I know,
maybe,
allegedly.
Maybe. Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly. I'm not saying he does or doesn't. I'm not saying it's Robert Downey Jr. either or Tony Stark, whoever he is. But there are some fantastic comebacks out there. Something that crossed my mind when we were talking about this, and I didn't say it to you, Niki Lauda. Do you know who Niki Lauda is? No.
No.
He's an Austrian Formula One driver. And he was racing in Spa one day. He was like a world champion racing in Spa one day. And he was involved in an accident in the old Formula One cars in the 70s and 80s. Basically, his car exploded while he was in it. He inhaled loads of noxious fumes. And there was a film made about it a couple of years ago, which starred one of the Hemsworth brothers as James Hunt. And it's called Rush. So basically, Niki Lauda inhaled all these noxious fumes, suffered serious burns, was dragged out of the car by another Formula One driver while it was on fire after exploding. And not only did he come back to race that season, but he went out and won the World Championship a year or two later. The World Championship after being having an engine explode out of his legs or at the back of his head or whatever.
There's some mad bastards out there, isn't there, like?
But Sir Nigel Mansell broke his neck and back and was racing 8 months later. But you're talking about, like, ACL injuries and lads not able to run for 6 months.
Right, so segue here, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is an old curveball of a question. But, well, not question, but, right? I was watching a documentary on Netflix. The second time I've said this sentence on this podcast tonight, yeah. Right?
You're fond of him.
But I was watching one on esports, right?
Esports, yeah.
Right, so electronic sports, so gaming, right?
EA Sports, it's in the game.
It's in the game, right? So esports has become a fucking massive industry in, you know, like, just in general, right? It's so much so that ESPN has, like, invested heavily and, like, created kind of, like, a channel for them or whatever, for, like, to host and to put stuff on TV of esports.
Right.
But, right.
Is your greatest comeback Tetris?
No, it's actually way. This is actually just away from comebacks now at the moment. But I'm just saying, right? What makes a sport, right? Because people, like, there was clips in this documentary where there's guys on talk shows and whatever that were going, oh, like, esports, or no one's playing, like playing anything. Like,
there's no physical exertion.
No physical exertion or whatever, right? But then, people are coming back and going, well, is chess then not a sport? Is, like, you know...
So, I would argue that chess isn't a sport.
Right.
It's more a mental exercise, in a sense, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Darts, there's a big debate over.
Exactly,
is it a
yeah.
sport? No.
Snooker!
But what I'd say is...
Do you know, I think, like, there's not much, yeah. like, physical exertion in snooker, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I suppose there's a lot of mental exertion in terms
but, like, there's
of
mental exertion
concentration,
in
so, yeah, I know, I get where you're coming from, But in snooker, you're physically actioning something and impacting on it, whereas in esports, you're manipulating a game.
Well, you're pressing a button.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, what's there's not much difference now between pressing several buttons, like, in quick succession, like, how quick, like, do you know, as in, if
you're making an action of a lad fondling his ball.
I know I am, but like,
this isn't great for podcast, but it was quite entertaining for me here. No, look, right, I get it. I get the whole esports thing. So TJ Colin, who fan of the show, friend of mine, who, if any of you are on Twitch or follow gaming, is Cephlan on gaming, Cephlan. So he's big into the gaming and streaming, and actually he's helped us an awful lot with the video content and editing and stuff like that. And TJ has this thing, like, you know, his page and stuff, but is it a sport? I don't think it is, right? Because you're sedentary when you're doing it. A darts player isn't sedentary, he's throwing something. I know you're pressing a button and stuff, but you're sedentary. Like,
I don't know though, if you're looking at those boys.
Also, the state that darts players get in, they're pointing all day and then they're hitting a bullseye, like.
yeah.
Like, that's a sport.
Yeah,
that's a fair. I like snooker is a lot more than just like lads sitting in a chair and then hitting a ball. Like, there's a physics, there's a concentration, there's an understanding, there's a calculation in the mind to be done. Which actually you could say for chess. So I'll actually, if I'm categorizing snooker as a sport, chess deserves to be categorized as a sport. So yeah. I'll actually go back on myself
and like, so if I'm saying esports to you, what are you thinking?
I think it's entertainment.
No. Sorry,
I think it's like wrestling.
No, but sorry, I'm saying pick a game. What game? If I'm saying, just top off your top of your head, what do you think is the most characteristic?
For sure, you see it, like, you've this huge whiz stuff on Twitter that I don't understand. All this, like, online FIFA and stuff. Now, I know there's Fortnite. There's Tom Clancy's Division 2 has come out lately that I know TJ's into. Yeah. And there's all these other online games. Call of Duty is like the classic and stuff like that. But is that a sport? Like, I don't see it as a sport. I see it as a lucrative hobby for some lads. Like Ninja lad.
Exactly.
PewDiePie.
But in that documentary I was looking at, they were saying that, like, one of the I think the top ever prize fund for an esports thing was 25 million.
Yeah.
So, like.
But that doesn't mean, that's like saying the top prize fund for the lotto, and then is the lotto a sport? Like,
no, but.
Is Euro Millions a sport? Like.
Well, I'm saying, right, if you're classifying chess as a sport, right, then boys who are doing, like, these massively multiple strategy games, like say, I don't know, where you have, like, a fucking a tactical base or whatever that you have to, like, conquer or whatever, I don't know. I think I definitely think there's an argument for it anyway.
I don't know. I think there is definitely an argument for it. I just don't think that argument stands up to scrutiny when it's done on a computer. It's artificial gaming, which is exactly what it is. So in order to be a sport, I think it needs to be live action physical gaming, whereas like esports is artificial. I don't think artificial is sport. I don't think you can be artificial in sport, if you know what I mean. And I think that artificialness is what, I know what you're saying about someone pressing the buttons and reacting quickly with a button and being mentally tuned in, I get that, but I don't think it classifies as a sport because there's no, the, like it's artificial in its nature. That's where I come from. I think, brilliant question. How do we get on to this? Like,
it's totally off topic.
Oh, no, yeah. I know it's actually a really good topic. And I know there's that kind of ninja, like he makes like $500,000 a week or something from streaming or something like that. And like the money in it is huge. But that doesn't necessarily automatically qualify it as a sport, if you get what I mean. Like Sunday League football in Waterford, is it the same sport as Premier League football? No. Technically, yes, but no. It's a different game altogether.
Yeah.
But they're both sports. Playing FIFA.
But are the top athletes, not athletes, but are the top gamers, let's say, putting in more dedication, more hours than a Sunday League footballer?
A lot of them are probably the same lads.
Yeah, no, they probably are.
Yeah.
But they're probably putting in more hours. Well, no, they definitely, if they are top, yeah, then they definitely are putting more hours into esports, into FIFA.
I think there's a segregation between a professional gamer and a professional sportsman, and I do think it's separate.
Yeah.
But I think that doesn't mean that they need to conflict or they can't coexist or there's not a place for it. Like I'm not arguing that at all. But I don't think it's a sport, in my personal opinion. And if you think it is a sport, like I'm not saying you're wrong.
No,
I'm saying that like it's where do you draw the line? Is the line the mental exertion and the reactions on the buttons and stuff, or is the line the physical activity or the artificialness? And that's it. And for me, the line is the artificialness. And I'm guessing from your jib, your line is the physical activity.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Your line is the reactions and stuff.
The reactions, I think.
You too.
I think it should be definitely. I think like it should be classified as a sport.
Yeah.
And I think in years to come, it will become like the market for it at the moment is absolutely huge,
massive,
in the States, and like I think it will become bigger. Anyway. Good topic.
Could we turn pointing into a sport and get 25 million for it?
Pointing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to...
Oh, we're getting there, Tom. It's warming it up, yeah. It's warming it up.
that was Tom the barman then, just checking
Tom
in on.
Top man. He's always welcome on.
So anyway, we were on about creative sporting comebacks and we segue completely off topic. So
I think we covered it.
Yeah. Like, I suppose, like, for me and my greatest, you mentioned Liverpool and Istanbul, and my one is United 99, the treble, and
Barcelona against Munich.
Munich, those two corners.
Matthias Sammer scored a free kick, wasn't it?
Yep. And then it was Sheringham and Solskjaer then in the last few minutes. So there was a good story of me dad. So I was only obviously a young fella, 9 years of age at the time, because I was nine, I kind of bricked the final, and I went out on the road myself, and I was playing football with a few of the lads on the road at the time of the final, and I came in at about the 88th, 89th minute. And dad had kind of given up hope. He was watching the match the whole time. He went out to boil the kettle. So I came in and started to watch the match. And Sheringham's goal came in. And I fucking started roaring. And dad Dad came in then. Like, yeah, bollocks, you fucking missed the whole fucking match and you're coming in for to watch this, like.
So, he should have been holding up as a fucking lucky charm, like.
Yeah, but he wasn't. He was jealous. And so then 1-1, and then next corner, then, like, fucking Solskjaer then fucking slots at home and seals the treble, like. Absolutely.
Bedlam.
Bedlam, like. Great moment. So for me, that's my greatest comeback of all time, just because of the moment, like me and my dad, great
the
moments.
Personal memory, yeah. I get that.
Us, but like on a whole, yeah, there has been some absolutely fantastic, great moments all together. Like,
Listen, like there's loads of sport ones you could think of and stuff like that, but I think. Like Rafa Nadal coming back with a major after all the injuries he had, even though there are alleged juicing allegations against him and stuff like that. But Rafa Nadal, the injuries he had to come back and win and one of the majors in tennis is fantastic. Like just every sport you think of, there's standout ones.
You know what
I mean? That's the beauty of sport. But yeah, like as a Liverpool fan, Istanbul stands out to me. Obviously, Barcelona for you as a United fan. Been a few bad of them comebacks as well. Look, comebacks are funny. Like one of the greatest comebacks ever, possibly me. Like you know, come back from injury to actually be able to walk and run. My injury wasn't that bad. Like.
So, oh God. Anyway. So this week, Game of Thrones is back on the scene.
Yeah, we won't give any spoilers away, just in case anyone's catching up. But it's back. We're not going to talk about the show, are we?
No, we're not. That got me thinking of was, what are your favourite theme tunes for TV shows?
To be fair, the Game of Thrones theme tune is up there among the best I've ever. Stephanie have had this conversation when we watched it. She said, like, once you get that fucking theme tune in your head, you're just game for Thrones.
That is true.
Are we keeping it exclusive to TV?
No, you can't. This podcast has no rules.
Absolutely not. No. Similar with the sci-fi and stuff like that. Like, Game of Thrones is epic. It probably is the best theme tune of all time. May well be. I am not disputing that.
What are you going to say? Are you going to say
Lord of the Rings?
Okay.
So I was going to say, because I just say that. Boom, boom, boom. It's so like demonish and I suppose full of despair. And then like you get that like, which is the theme of the thing. It starts off with like a desperate, we need to do this. And it gets more desperate as it goes on. And then eventually they, against all odds, succeed. So it's like, boom, boom, boom. Bum, bum, bum. It's all like fucking doom and gloom, and then it's like all of a sudden they look up and at the dawn on the fifth day Gandalf is up there with a heap of lads about to ride in and kill all them boys. So like it really matches the theme of the whole York. Like it's a great tune, it's a great theme tune.
It is in fairness, like it's a multitude of levels, you know?
Yeah. I think it's the best. It's definitely the best backing music to a series of films by a mile. Like, I don't think there's anything comes close.
Yeah. You're probably. Is there good? Yeah, I suppose there's good kind of continuity with it, like, you know.
Yeah.
So I went to see, as I said before, on the Snowcast, to Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I know, like that. We are dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs are here. They should not be here. It is 1992. This is actually, we actually did this on a podcast in this very pub
months ago.
Yeah. Trash Bar Square Show. I wanna come at you with something that I think is very different to anything we've discussed at the moment. But can I just say, right? Laid by James as a tune in American Pie series is brilliant. Like, it's the perfect song for the American Pie series.
Right.
This bed is on fire with passionate love. The neighbors complain about the noises above. But she only comes when she's on top.
I think that could be another Snowcast topic for another day, as in best soundtrack.
Yeah. I get it's not, probably doesn't classify as a team tune, but yeah. In my head, like, I'm like, a couple of points in, I just said.
Yeah. Well, look.
That's the joy of it. That's no rules.
No rules. So anyway, sorry.
Look. Match of the day. And the Sunday game, like, back, sure, they're classics, obviously.
Actually, there was a classic joke back in the day in primary or secondary school, I can't remember, but it was like, how many D's are in match of the day?
Match of the day, Sunday game. There's those ones that, like, winning streak, all the old ones, you know, that you know from your childhood, that the foreign listeners having a queue up around about now.
Yeah. The Late Show, Late Show.
Yeah. Do you remember they got rid of the Late Late Show team tune and they got so many complaints?
Yeah.
Same with the Sunday game. So many complaints. Like, Ireland is such a stickler for tradition. Like,
quality, like.
It's just a symbol of Fridays on Ireland.
So for me, right, just to bring back to the TV theme tunes, which was the original question, right?
Yes.
And look, the Late Show is a TV, right? And it does have theme tune, so we're not knocking it.
We're not skewing that way.
But I think for me, right, what kind of really hints, like, for me, what is a good one or a bad one is what else skip, like, episode
on Netflix.
On Netflix or whatever, right? What intro will I skip, right? So, no matter what episode it is of Game of Thrones, I will never, ever skip the Game of Thrones intro. So, yeah, Simpsons, you're never skipping that. Family Guy, not skipping that boy, yeah. Bad boy. Father's Head.
Ah.
Not skipping that. Like, that's quality.
But the thing is, like, the only reason it's quality is because it perfectly matches the show that follows.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that, put that piece of music before The Sopranos.
Yeah. Whereas I've watched Sunderland Till I Die. Did you watch that?
Yes. I was actually, while we're talking about this, I'm trying to think, what's that thing that me and Eve said? This is the worst team tune that doesn't match anything. And it was Sunderland Till I Die. We're like, what's that piece of music that shut? Like,
shite.
I remember the first one we watched, and straight away we both looked at each other afterwards and we're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It's almost like it makes it out to be some sort of rom-com where, like, fucking Jude Law is going to come in dressed as a fucking Henry VIII's, like, concierge, and he's going to finger Anne Boleyn under the table at court.
But, like, you'd be better off with, like, because, like, throughout the series, they have, like, you know, even just generic fan chants, right? And they would be 1 million times better than the shite that they produce for this song. Like, it matches them going down. That's how bad it is. Like.
It's probably the worst theme tune ever. And that includes... Actually, no, I was going to say includes, like, soaps. But actually, EastEnders and Coronation Street are iconic. Oh.
Like, okay, whatever about, like, a start of the soap, but that is a way to end the soap. Like, have, like, a cliffhanger or someone, like, dying, like, someone being plowed by a truck. Peggy or an airplane being crashed into the Queen Vic or something.
Peggy Mitchell about to jib Prince Charles in the balls when he tries to fucking ride her.
Thomas the Tank Engine. Great, great team music.
Even better, Thomas the Tank Engine mixed with fucking Biggie Smalls. What is it?
Yeah, motherfucker.
Motherfucker, come on. I thought it was brilliant. If you haven't seen that on YouTube, came out when we were in college. Biggie Smalls mixed with Thomas Tank Engine. Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. There's a Snoop Dogg dropping like it's hot as well. That's actually very, very good.
Who's that mixed with?
Thomas Tank Engine as well. Like, Thomas Tank Engine just goes to any gangster rap. Like,
yeah.
You could probably put it with Tupac until the end of time and it'll go well. Like,
yeah.
Or Fuck the Police by NWA.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
That was a good old chat.
Yeah, I think we've talked enough shite for one night.
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, we haven't, but we've talked enough shite microphone for one night.
I know. So we'll just unclip here now.
We'll hit stop and we'll go and chat to the boys next to us there that have been very good with us. Thanks a million, lads. Appreciate it. And we'll drive on.
Yeah, and just...
Happy Easter to everyone. From one pagan to a bunch of Catholics and other religions. Happy Easter, happy every other religion holiday. We love you all.
Speaking of pagans, why don't you be a Patreon?
I like that segue. So we've a Patreon account, www.patreon.com/Snowcast if you want to contribute to Snowcast. Can do our Patreon. Sign up to our Patreon, donate, give us a couple of pounds a month. If you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. We're not going to judge either way.
Thanks
a million. That's our model. We're basically relying on the goodness of your hearts to pay for us to produce content. Pints, podcasts.
Mainly pints, yeah.
And videos. No, look, we promise we won't buy pints with your money.
I'm not promising anything like that.
We promise we won't buy pints with your money. We'll go and have pints, and with your money, then we'll produce the content in other ways.
We will buy pints and stuff.
But yeah, patreon.com/Snowcast for the Patreon account. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Be sure to rate us on iTunes if you're listening on iTunes. Follow us on all other podcast apps and stuff like that, please. And thanks a million for listening. Listen, we've been here, the Snowcast, Phil Grimes, great setting, Tom Ryan, fantastic barman, 8 Degrees, Citra, brilliant beer to get us through this podcast. 5.8% drinks, more than 5.8%. Feel it now. Feel it now. It's a great beer. It'll get you on your way. It'll get you where you want to go. Listen, lads, Shin and Snowcast. Owen, thanks for hosting tonight.
Hey, thanks a million. Hey, look, lads, thanks for listening.
We fucking love doing this, don't we?
Yeah, no, as in, without you guys, we wouldn't be us.
And to the newbies that have come aboard, thanks a million for that. It's funny, we thought we'd grow and then sustain a thing, and then. But what's actually happened with us is we've got a new slurry of listeners in the last couple of weeks. Thanks a million for that. You're a great bunch. We fucking love you all. And listen, everyone that's listening to this podcast, hopefully we'll have a pint with you sometime.
Yep.
Slán go Joe. This evening, Shiv Galeo.
Slán.